Matthew Henry comments on Numbers 31. He says, "This chapter belongs to the book of the wars of the Lord, in which it is probable it was inserted. It is the history of a holy war, a war with Midian." Hear now the reading of the word of Almighty God, Numbers 31, starting at verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. And Moses spake unto the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves unto the war, and let them go against the Midianites, and avenge the Lord of Midian. Of every tribe 1,000, throughout all the tribes of Israel, shall ye send to the war. So there were delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, to the war, with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captives, and their little ones, and took the spoil of all their cattle, and all their flocks, and all their goods. And they burnt all their cities wherein they dwelt, and all their goodly castles with fire. And they took all the spoil, and all the prey, both of men and of beasts. And they brought the captives, and the prey, and the spoil, unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and unto the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by Jordan near Jericho. And Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the princes of the congregation went forth to meet them without the camp. And Moses was wroth with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. And Moses said unto them, Have ye saved all the women alive? Behold, these cause the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. But all the women children that have not known a man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. And do ye abide without the camp 7 days. Whosoever hath killed any person, and whosoever hath touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captives on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, and purify all your raiment, and all that is made of skins, and all work of goat's hair, and all things made of wool. And Eleazar the priest said unto the men of war, which went to the battle, This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold and the silver, the brass, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. And ye shall wash your clothes on the 7th day, and ye shall be clean. And afterward ye shall come into the camp. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the sum of the prey that was taken, both of man and of beast, thou and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the prey into 2 parts, between them that took the war upon them, who went out to battle, and between all the congregation, and levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war, which went out to battle, 1 soul of 500, both of the persons and of the beeves and of the asses and of the sheep. take it of their half, and give it unto Eleazar the priest for an heave offering of the Lord. And of the children of Israel's half, thou shalt take one portion of 50 of the persons of the beeves, of the asses, and of the flocks, of all manner of beasts, and give them unto the Levites, which keep the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. And Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. And the booty, being the rest of the prey which the men of war had caught, was 600,000 and 70,000 and 5,000 sheep, and 70,000 beeves, and 70,000 asses, and 32,000 persons in all, of women that had not known man by lying with him. And the half which was the portion of them that went out to war was in number 300,000 and 37,000 and 500 sheep. And the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 60,015. And the beeves were 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 72. And the asses were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. And the persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 32 persons. And Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering unto Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And of the children of Israel's half, which Moses divided from the men that warred. Now the half that pertained unto the congregation was 300,000 and 30,000 and 7,000 and 500 sheep, and 36,000 beeves, and 30,000 asses and 500, and 16,000 persons. Even of the children of Israel's half, Moses took one portion of 50, both of man and of beast, and gave them unto the Levites, which kept the charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the officers, which were over thousands of the host, the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, came near unto Moses, and they said unto Moses, "Thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war, which are under our charge, and there lacketh not one man of us. We have therefore brought an oblation for the Lord. What every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings, and tablets, to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord." And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of them, even all wrought jewels, and all the gold of the offering that they offered up to the Lord, of the captains of thousands and of the captains of hundreds, was 16,750 shekels. For the men of war had taken spoil, every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold of the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and brought it into the tabernacle of the congregation for a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. And thus far, the reading of the word of Almighty God from Numbers chapter 31. Quite an instructive passage in various ways. Verses 1 through 12, we have God's command for war. He tells them to undertake this war, and they obey him, and they are successful in their undertaking. Notice he says to avenge the children of Israel for the Midianites, or literally to avenge the vengeance, as it reads in the Hebrew. Now the Midianites are judged, even though Moab partook in this sin, but Deuteronomy 2:9 identifies the Moabites as being spared while the Midianites are judged and crushed. Moses then is commanded to do this in preparation for his death. He will be gathered unto his people, which for the godly means they will be gathered to the saints in heaven in God's presence. Their spirits will be made perfect and they'll join the people of God above. Notice also verse 3. Verse 2 said it was to avenge Israel. Verse 3 says to avenge whom? The Lord. Avenge the Lord of Midian, because they seduced God's people to idolatry. Numbers 25:17, the Lord said, "Vex the Midianites and smite them." Notice the consolation the people of God receive. When the people of God have someone wrong them, God takes it upon himself as a personal offense. Not just avenge Israel, but avenge the Lord. Because the Lord takes the cause of his people upon himself. Now this vengeance against Midian is very instructive. Were the people of Israel guilty for having been seduced? Yes, they were. They were plagued for being seduced. Were the Midianites guilty for seducing them? Yes, they also were guilty. Was Balaam guilty for giving counsel to seduce Israel? Yes. And this instructs us in many ways. In our day, many people feel that their responsibility is diminished by the wrongs of others. Well, you don't understand, Mom. She did this to me, so it's okay for me to do this to her, you see? Even though there's a law that says, do no harm, even though you've told me not to smack your sister upside her head, but sister said meany words, and so I smacked her, right? My responsibility goes down because of the wrongdoing of other people. Is that how God sees it? He does not. God holds everyone accountable for their own actions. We are not victims. It is not 50-50. It is 100-100. Many people in marriage, they will say, oh, well, the man is a narcissist. Therefore, the woman can leave her husband. He has a disorder in his mind, and therefore she can go on her merry way. And God says, no, she can't. That's adultery. To abandon a lawful husband or to abandon a lawful wife because you don't like them or because they're a sinner or because they say meany things or they don't do exactly what you want, you do not lose your responsibility. Midianites are judged. Israel was judged. So also is the counselor to the evil, namely Balaam. I say then, when we do evil, we must never see ourselves as victims. If you see yourself when you do evil as a victim, then you will never repent of that evil that you have done. You will not confess it. You will not acknowledge it except to say, oh, I'm sorry, you made me do this bad thing. I've heard people say that. I'm sorry, you misunderstood me. I'm sorry, you made me do this. No, that's not repentance. We must confess our sin, not sins we haven't committed, but our actual sins. We must confess them. We must forsake them. We must not blame others or even God's providence. Oh, well, God made me this way, or I'm in this socioeconomic status, or I'm a woman, not a man, or I'm a man, not a woman. No, when you sin, blame yourself. Take responsibility for your own deeds, because that's how God will judge you, for your deeds, not for the deeds of others. God then sends out 12,000 men. God can save by few or by many. Moses sent them, verse 6 tells us, to the war, 1,000 of every tribe, them and who? Who gets to go with them? Phinehas. Do you remember the zeal of Phinehas? When he pierced through Cosby, the Midianitish woman, and the prince of Israel in his zeal for God, he is honored to lead them into battle. God remembers the special thing that he had done. He has the trumpets to blow in his hand, to remind them of God's worship, remind them of God's house, to remind them of God's presence, to remind them of God's commandments. You go to war not on your own, but with God present with you. Remember, Paul said, if the trumpet does not give a certain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle, for war? That's right. They're preparing themselves for war. Notice they slay all the males, verse 7. This is what armies are to do. They're to kill their adversaries. God had commanded them to do so, and they did it. They did what he said. They were faithful in their duties. They also killed the kings of the Midianites, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian, we are told. Now, in Joshua 13:21, we have these same men named, and they are called dukes or princes under Sihon. But Sihon, what happened to him? Do you kids remember? He was destroyed, that's right. Sihon is destroyed, and now who comes in his place? these men do, these five kings now, no longer princes or dukes. So then I observe that matters will not always be as they stand at one time in our life. These men, remember, Sihon had proverbs spoken about him of what a great king, a godlike king, who conquered all of his adversaries and a fire went before him. Do you remember this? And now he's gone. He's no longer in the picture. Who then rises to the occasion? Well, it's these five kings. Things will not always be as they stand in our lives, and sometimes we're tempted to think things will always be this way. There is much in the way of change in our lives in this life. Even Sihon, the mighty king, he died, and others filled his station. Our life is but a vapor. Let us then be ready to die ourselves by trusting in the Lord Jesus, but also do not become despondent. Do not lose hope. Do not expect that providence will always have things the way that they are right now. No, there are changes that occur in our lives. Watch and pray. Do our duty. Leave the results to God and wait upon His providence. Notice verse 8. They slay Balaam. Now, in the past, in the book of Numbers, it did not tell us of his seeking to seduce. He almost is presented as a virtuous man in some ways. He refuses to curse. He refuses to curse. He refuses to curse. He says he'll only say what God tells him to say. And yet here he is sneaking around and counseling them. Here's how you destroy Israel. You get them to commit idolatry with beautiful women. That's how you do it. Balaam was slain with the sword. Peter tells us the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Revelation 2:14, the doctrine of Balaam was taught in some of these churches. He taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. That was his counsel. Sound like good counsel? Let's get these people to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Pay up. I want some money for my good counsel because I just taught you how to destroy them. Verse 9, hearkening back to the seduction of Balaam, they took all the women of Midian captives. Oh, how convenient. Had they not learned their lesson? That's why Moses becomes so angry with them. You brought these women who seduced you to idolatry into the camp. What are you thinking? Doesn't make any sense. They did, however, burn all their cities of Midian with fire, even their goodly castles. They were not compromising on this point, but on the other point of the women, they're certainly compromised. Notice verses 13 through 18, we have their triumph after the war, but their sparing of women rebuked and corrected. Verse 13 informs us that these women caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, his advice. When we give counsel, when we receive counsel, it must be according to God's word. It must not be evil counsel. The wages of unrighteousness is what he was paid. Oh, how much per hour? Oh, well, so much gold per hour, so much per advice. And when you're successful, give me some more. I want a bonus. The wages of unrighteousness. Do not receive godless counsel. Do not give godless counsel. Then we have the directions for purifying themselves and the things that they brought from the war. Verse 19 through verse 24. He says, whosoever in verse 19 hath killed any person, and whosoever hath touched any slain, purify both yourselves and your captives. This is possibly one meaning, as we'll see in 1 Corinthians 15, the baptism for the dead, those who are baptized for the dead. There is no explicit teaching on this in the epistle to the 1 Corinthians, but it could be he's referring to this. When a person touched a dead body, what would they do? They would be purified. They would be sprinkled with water. They would be baptized, in other words, to be cleansed from that uncleanness. In any case, verses 25 through 47, we have the distribution of the spoils. Notice half to the soldiers, half to the congregation, and then a tribute to God from each is given. This ordinance of half and half was used by David in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24. Remember the men who were so tired they couldn't go on to rescue their wives and children? David gave them half and half to those who went and fought. So here, the Lord levies a tribute, verses 37 and following. You'll notice that if you follow the numbers, for example, 675,000 sheep, quite a goodly sum, if you divide that in two, you get the number that he identifies as belonging to one, 337,500. And what's more, if you multiply that by 1/500th, you get 675. Now, sorry that I have to say this, but I need to prepare you for the world of lunatics that exists outside of the walls of the church. But some people believe that mathematics is an invention of white supremacy. Oh, it's the Western mind that invented mathematics, and therefore 5 is 2 plus 2. And if you don't believe that, you're a racist, you're an awful person. Well, let me tell you, these are Eastern men dwelling in the Middle East, created in the same image of God as white men are, and God assumes that they understand math, that they can do math. What is more, logic is not the invention of white people, it is how God thinks. And therefore, man created in his image is required to think like God. Imagine that. Scripture assumes that you can do math and you are not a beast. Scripture assumes that you can make logical deductions and you're not some kind of stock or stone. Logic and mathematics are not Western constructs. So then, we must improve our minds, renew our minds, enlighten our minds in the knowledge of truth, use your reason as a servant of God who reveals truth to you. God has given us a revelation, and continue to hold fast to the truth of God despite the Marxist or postmodern lies. Then verses 48 through 54, we have a free will offering. That is one not imposed by a divine command, but freely given of their own will. They notice, verse 49, that there lacked not one man of them, 12,000 going to war against perhaps 5 or 6 times that number of the Midianites, and not one dies. This is a supernatural act of God in his goodness. And so they bring an offering to make an atonement, they say in verse 50, for their souls. Matthew Henry comments on this atonement. He says, instead of coming to Moses to demand a recompense for the good services they had done in avenging the Lord of Midian, or to set up trophies of their victory for the immortalizing of their own names, they bring an oblation to make an atonement for their souls, being conscious to themselves, as the best men must be in even their best services, that they had been defective in their duty. Not only in that instance for which they were reproved, remember bringing the women, sparing the women, that was a sin, but in many others, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. This, by the way, is why justification is by faith alone, because the best men as Moses, as Aaron, as David, as Abraham, all of them are justified in the same way that we are through believing in the Messiah and his death for them. And thus far the explanation of Numbers chapter 31.